Welcome to the Gates of Love podcast. In this episode, we sit down with Justin and Haley, longtime friends of Chris, and their little boy, Payson, 1 year old, joins us as well. We talk about the progression of their relationship. Hope you guys enjoy.
There we go.
Okay,
wow.
He's going to be interviewing too.
Yeah, I love
actually
it.
Him. We're actually seeing if you guys are fit to be his parents.
Perfect. This will go well.
This is intimidating.
Well, now I'm nervous. My hand is sweating.
No, I'm good.
I'm pacing.
I'm thinking of it as like a, just like an open dialogue.
Yeah.
A conversation.
But very if, closed.
Right. Very,
very,
very specific.
With, very, very
say the wrong thing.
Kind of open, just imagine it closed.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Hi, we're Chris and Jackie.
Welcome to the Gates of Love interview series, a collection of interviews with couples we aspire to learn from.
We look at the differences and similarities behind conscious relationships and what makes them work.
Wait, now I'm nervous because I thought you guys were just, like my voice is going to be on something?
Yeah. But not your face.
That's right. I have some waivers for you guys to sign.
Justin, you have your face for radio. Does anybody ever told you that before?
I'm glowing now after hearing that compliment.
I didn't prepare my voice.
I feel like we just need to start talking.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just like consider it like a dialogue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So what grade is Payson in?
Payson would be in negative third grade.
Negative kindergarten. Garden kinder.
Garden kinder.
Wow.
I didn't know that was a German word until this week.
Kindergarten. That's just what it is.
Exactly. All right, now that we've gotten the pleasantries out.
Yeah. So we just start with how you guys met.
Sure. You want to go for it?
Yeah. I don't know.
Let's start with that.
I mean, you already know some of them.
Yeah, you do know some of
them. No, I already know the answers. Move on.
Yeah. All right, we'll inform. So how did we meet?
Technically, in school.
Right. Remember that day?
It was my first day of PT school. And I was heading up to the sixth floor, and so going open the elevator, and you walked out. And I don't know why. I've never introduced myself to someone, like, randomly coming out of an elevator, but I decided to be like, oh, hi, I'm Haley. And
with her arm outstretched. Ready.
So it was, like, kind of like dramatic movie, like, the doors opened and he was there. Yeah, so that's how I met him, but really we didn't really meet until months later at a school event. It was a kickball tournament, and he came running up in your silly headband. I was like, who is this guy? And he's like, oh, it's the elevator guy. So
the elevator guy.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, so that's how we met. He was in PA school, and I was in PT school at the time.
And then, I think I must have asked for your number on
Facebook.
Yeah, which is very classic, you know.
You Facebook friended me
old
that night.
Modern relationships, sure. And Facebooked her that night, and then we ended up having like our first date.
Well, okay, so going back though, his Facebook photo was him and his sister, which I was like, oh, he has such a beautiful girlfriend. Like, so weirdly, like when you had asked for my number, I was a little confused because I kind of was like, oh, that, you know, that's his girlfriend and stuff. But then you wanted to play basketball, so I was like, oh, that's cool. So I didn't really think of it as a date.
So. Sorry, Payson's here taking a bite out of each veggie snack and then putting them back.
So when we hang out for our first date and I invite her to play basketball, I was thinking of it as a date. She was not. So she comes over in full athletic apparel.
Like basketball shorts.
And like attractive.
Bun in the hair, like bunned up hair, no makeup, like thinking we were just hanging out. And I was like, oh, he had cut up strawberries, like a picnic. And
oh my gosh, really?
Yeah, I had no idea. And I was like, oh gosh.
That's how we started.
Did you like try to like ask about what you thought was his girlfriend? Were you like, so where's your girlfriend?
I think it came up kind of on my end first. And I don't know if she teased it out of me or not, but I feel like I remember during that first date telling you that, you know, oh yeah, my we just went to Costa Rica, my sister and my family and stuff, and she put two and together because the picture was in obviously in Costa Rica.
Yeah. I was going to say, I wouldn't have agreed to, like, go play basketball with you. I knew before that that was your sister. God. But, like, leading into it, I thought it was. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, doing some background research type
thing. Yeah. A little snooping, I guess.
Yeah.
Say, beforehand, but.
That's fair. You need your information before you make a commitment.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. To go play basketball with a stranger.
Mm-hmm.
Naturally.
Yeah. And then it just flourished from there.
So.
No.
No, did not just flourish from there. It was a good, I mean, we started like courting each other and, you know, it was, you know, went through the regular rigmarole of when you're starting to date somebody where you're showing interest and you're learning more about them. And for a few weeks, we were kind of going dating and going out and learning a little bit more about each other, going out to dinner, going out to a couple of movies, but it was...
You were in your second year of PA school, so you were traveling a lot with rotations.
So it was taxed by that.
I was going into my second year of PT school, and both of us were just studying a lot. But I think it was also, I was in the phase of not really interested in dating at the time. I was just like, I had gotten out of a long-term relationship. I had been with someone for like 5 years, so it was like a year of like, oh, this is amazing just to be single and grow. So like when I actually started dating him, I was like, oh, dang it, I really like this guy. But I just kind of also didn't feel ready. Like I was afraid of him in a way. I didn't quite feel ready. And I can't speak for him, but he was obviously in school and traveling and stuff like that, so it just really wasn't good timing on his end. But we were also still young.
It felt like it, didn't it? Like,
it did.
Looking back on it now, we're 30, and we started seeing each other at like 23. And it felt like we were very young now. But
to have found each other at that age, it was sort of, it was scary for me, where I was like, oh, I don't know if I'm ready to like date this guy. Like, this is a really good guy. That it just, it was weird. So we definitely ended it.
Yeah, just rotations, time, distance, we ended it for a period of time. And ended it for about 3 months, right?
3 months, yeah. So not long, but we ended it.
It was kind of like a mutual ending.
I think it was time. It was amicable. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He ended it. Like, I had gone to his place, and the whole time I was at his place, we were watching a movie, and I was like, I've got to end this. Like, that was what was going on in my head. I was like, I'm just not...
Yeah.
This just doesn't seem right right now. I'm going to end this. And then he walked me out to my car and ended it. And I was like, whoa.
Coincidence.
I did it.
Wow, wait. You beat me to it. Dang it. But that also made it kind of easy on me.
But it was, like, palpable. We could tell, like,
we were sad.
At that point.
I was very sad.
That it wasn't what we were both looking for at the time. We both were sad, for sure. And I think we both knew walking away from it, maybe not instantaneously, that, like, that was a really good person. Mm-hmm. It just maybe, it almost took the distance or the separation at that time to realize it, maybe, to a degree. But it was slow.
I remember when I got sad.
Oh, yeah?
I was like, okay, this feels good, this is fine. And I was getting ready to go back Havasupai. And a couple days after this, you texted me like, hey, I had gotten you a few things for your trip. Can I come over? And you knocked on my door and you had brought me like different bars and like a water bottle or something for my trip. And
sorry.
A metal bowl.
Our infant with the metal bowl was playing in the background.
And so you'd brought me those things, and then you left, and I was like, oh, wait, that was really nice. Now I'm sad.
So, yeah, I think it was just a period of time where we both realized that we had met somebody that impacted us enough that we wanted to see kind of what each other... We wanted to see each other again because I think it took just some time to realize that. And after a few months and running into each other again, it was just kind of like an obvious... For me, at least, it was like very obvious that... She was somebody I connected really well with and that I missed connecting with more. And so I kind of asked her out again, basically said, you know, you want to go out again sometime? And it was just perfect timing that it worked. And yeah. And then from there, it kind of blossomed again.
So how were those 3 months for you guys, like individually?
Awesome. It was time I needed. I mean, I missed him, but, like, we hadn't really, really dated a ton, so it was, like, kind of back to, like, just focusing on school and personal growth, and I traveled to Peru for a couple weeks, and so it was just, like, the growth and time I felt like I needed.
It feels short in the big scheme of things now, being together for so many years, but the 3 months at that time was enough that I felt like I grew up a little bit more. You know, it's you know, it's hindsight's 20/20. But, like, I feel like those 3 months were a time that I finished school. I felt like the completion of school kind of maybe was like a catalyst of me growing up a little bit. And I felt like when I graduated, I was like a different person. And so when we ran into each other a few weeks after all of that, I felt at least like a little bit different. It's hard to describe it, I guess. But, like, when I met her then, or re-met her, or re-saw her then at that point, I think it just felt like it was, like, the right relationship at that time, and that what we had before maybe wasn't quite the right timing. But just that distance was just enough to kind of get us to the point where our goals are, like, we aligned a little bit better.
Yeah, and it takes, like, a lot of awareness of yourself at that age, too, to be like, no, I need this time for myself, and to walk away from something that you...
Yeah,
really,
that we both, yeah. Even though it was an amicable breakup, I think we both still, like, cared for each other very deeply, and, like, that time away was enough to realize that, I think.
For me too, and this is just honest, I'm so sorry.
Oh, please, that's what this is about, go for it.
When him and I had first officially started, like, kind of dating, and, you okay, buddy?
Walk it off, yeah.
When we had started dating and seeing each other and stuff during that initial time, it was, like, scary for me because I hadn't dated anyone since my other boyfriend. And for me, it was like, am I ready to say goodbye to that? Because I feel like if I start dating someone or get serious with someone else, like, that relationship is officially completely over. So, like, those 3 months I needed because I still felt like I didn't have the closure with my ex. And it was... like, I needed that time to realize, like, yeah, this is definitely not what I need or who I need to be with. And so when I saw him again, it was like, yep, ready to move on. Ready for another. So, yeah. It was, like, that immature just needing to grow up a little bit to be in the right relationship.
Yeah. So taking that time for yourself really set you up to then...
Yes.
Be in that place where right person, right timing.
Precisely.
Yep.
Precisely. It sounds like a cliche, but it definitely fit for us.
It was. He was the right person, wrong timing initially. And then, I mean, it wasn't long time, but 3 months later, it was right person, right timing.
Yeah, exactly. Sure. And then from there, it was like, it was just like total catalyst. Everything seemed to go a million miles an hour in a really good way, like a positive way. Like, our relationship just, like, took off. And I think blossomed much faster in the first couple of months that we started redating than it ever did during the initial phase of us dating. Mm-hmm. So,
did it feel like you guys kind of picked up what you left off, or was it like a relearning?
I feel like we...
As Haley's laughing at the question, yeah, so I'm curious, I feel like, to hear what's going to come out.
No, I feel like we really... I think we picked up very quickly. And, like, in the sense that, like, I think... I just think our relationship expanded very quickly in, like I said, in a really palpable way and, like, a powerful way, in the sense that, like, we were doing things together, I think, that some people would maybe consider as a more normal part of a relationship, only because of the distance that initially kept us kind of I'm kind of losing my train of thought here. Meaning, initially, because of the distance was such a big factor of us, that I think the time when we got back together and we were both in the same city, I think that's when, like, a little bit more normalcy took over, where we could, like, go out to dinner occasionally, meet up right after studying and that type of thing.
Well, we saw each other, we did dinner, and then within 2 days I was helping you move out of your apartment to a new place. So, like, my weekend was dedicated to helping you move, which I don't feel like you do in initial, like...
Like, when at the start of the week, we hadn't even seen each other in 3 months.
It was like, it felt like we were boyfriend and girlfriend, like, boom, the first date that we went on again, so... Yeah.
That was good.
And then how soon after did you guys move in together?
6 months, I think, because...
That's bit.
Yeah, maybe a little more, maybe plus or minus a bit more. But her lease was coming to an end, and at that point in our relationship again, things were just like continuously moving forward. And you could tell, like you could tell that we just kept moving forward and taking the big next steps. And as a result of that, sorry, our kid's playing with the dog in the background. And so as a result of that, she moved in with me and a couple of roommates, including Chris here, and in a small house, but it seemed relatively natural at the time, and everything kind of came together pretty well. So I think when we first moved in together, I didn't feel like this big, it felt like a big monumental thing, so neither of us had ever lived with a partner before. But it went so naturally that, and I think roommates almost helped because of that, that it took away some of the pressures of it, because it just kind of almost felt like we were all roommates in a way. Mm-hmm. But nevertheless, moving in together, really, I think was actually a really good thing for us, because I think that also helped kind of advance the relationship again.
Mm-hmm. I feel like by then we kind of both like knew too, like this was.
I think it was
definitely like more serious.
More serious than previous relationships, yeah, for sure. And it wasn't just a fling. Because I think we'd learned that the first time around, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, being on the outside and being close to Justin for a long time, it was clear to see that this one was different.
Yeah.
Aww. Yeah. So. And she just left Justin hanging.
It's all good. No big deal.
So, you guys moved in together fairly quickly after the second startup.
Sure.
And going back to kind of what Haley was saying about how she needed that time to learn something or experience something for herself, how do you now, because obviously you spend so much time together, living together, how do you take time to fill up your own cup to follow your passions that are separate from Justin or Justin's passions that are separate from Haley? How do you give each other that space? How do you ask for that?
Are you saying now or back then?
Just through your relationship. Was it ever a struggle to have your own space and time? Was he ever suffocating? Yeah, I mean, just kind of, I'm curious.
Yeah, let me answer first. I think one thing that we were pretty good at, and I think one thing that we individually had where we each had our own kind of escape. I was playing a lot of basketball at the time, which was like a really good escape. Haley was very much into her studies, but in a good way, not just like somebody advancing through the degree. I mean, she was very like motivated and passionate about it. And so we almost initially divided our time between her studying and me playing basketball. And it was almost like a release for each of us. And it's hard to imagine somebody like having a release with studying, but I think she enjoyed the camaraderie of studying with her friends and going to coffee shops and such. And then at the same time, I'd be playing basketball with my friends. And so when we came back together as a unit, I think we both had gotten, you know, each of our individual activities done, and so we felt like now we could bond as a couple and have like this, you know, union relationship in the evenings and such, before we'd each embark on our day again the next day. And I think that was really helpful. And over time, that's become maybe easier because we each have identified those things, and hers has changed maybe more from studying to hiking and being with our son. But I think we still just had good communication about when we wanted to each embark on our own activity, that we could still, you know, go after each of those goals, but we'd already have the framework laid from initially. Would you agree?
Yes, I'd agree. I'll add a few things.
Please.
I'd say initially, when he started working professionally, he works in the emergency room, so his schedule was very all over the place, from nights to afternoon shifts to just not a normal schedule, that I actually felt like, even though we were living together as a couple and stuff like that, because I had a more normal schedule, we didn't really have that much time together. So it felt very easy to, I don't know, do my own thing or you do your own thing, just because our schedules were so opposite, it felt like, initially. I would say now, I stay home with our son, and so even though he's still doing shift work, our weekends tend to be, say, like Wednesday, Thursdays together or something like that, where we have way more time together. But I think we just do a really good job of understanding that even though we have more time together, like, we each need our individual things too. So he knows, for me, like, I have such a better day if I get even just 30 minutes to exercise or go for a walk or hike or just do something like that for myself. For him, it's still basketball or doing some type of task around the house, so yard work or something where he just kind of needs his little escape.
I think so.
But I think we also just understand that both need to be individuals too. So does that answer filling the cup?
I think so.
Yeah. If you guys are.
Yeah, just kind of understanding that. Yeah, we have a lot of time together now, but we also have our own interests and stuff that we do.
Yeah. And so, do you make it a point to do those things regularly, or does it kind of just happen so naturally you don't have to necessarily think about it?
I would actually say more naturally, I think, than having like a structure. I think we have to verbalize what each of our goals are for each of the day.
Yes.
I think that's very helpful. Meaning, you know, we're starting our morning out with coffee, and we're starting our morning out with coffee, and so maybe at that point we'll use that chance to say what each of us want to accomplish for the day. And so it just kind of creates a framework for that person's expectations of the day too. Meaning, I really would like to play basketball at this point, or I really want to cut the grass at this point. Let her know that that's what's on my head, because sometimes she'll be able to read my head but doesn't know what I'm thinking about. And so I think saying that and getting it off the chest just kind of creates that framework so that the day goes along without surprises.
Yeah. We've had to get a little bit better now that we have a kid, because beforehand it was obviously pretty natural of like, okay, I'm just going to go do my thing and, you know, he can do whatever he wants and then we'll come back together or whatever. But now that there is a kid and there's the schedule and, you know, you can't just leave him, so someone has to be watching him, we do have to structure it a little bit more where it's like, okay, like you said, over coffee, my expectation for the day might be I'm going to sit and play with Basin all day long. Like, that's what I want, but his mindset might be more of, like, today's my task day. I want to get these things done. So we just have to communicate what our expectations are, and that way everyone gets what they need done for that day.
I always use the metaphor that it's kind of like, if you remember in undergrad or high school, if you had a project due on, you know, let's say Monday morning and Sunday, and Sunday you just delayed and you procrastinated all day, and homework has been on your mind all day, but you've been watching TV or doing sports or something like that, and then Sunday night rolls around and it's time to like either commit or go to bed, and you make the decision that, okay, I'll just get up really early Monday and do the project or study or whatever, but you wasted all of your Sunday because you couldn't get the project idea off your head, and yet it's still there. And so in the same sense, I think when one of us has something that we want to accomplish but we don't say it, it's kind of like that, where you can tell the other person has something they want to do. Instead of like, if we don't talk about it, the day feels kind of wasted because both of us know something's not being said. And so I think if we get it out of the way early in the morning, set the goals and expectations, I think that's really helpful.
There are days, oh my goodness, where you can just tell his brain is like, he's sitting there with Payson, but his brain is totally somewhere else. And it's just sort of like, okay, what do you need to do right now? Like, go do whatever it is you need to do. So when we just talk about it, that keeps us from, like, getting upset with one another and stuff, too.
For sure.
Yeah. Hi, buddy.
And it sounds like, since you guys had to do that in the beginning of your relationship with school and being busy with other stuff, there was never, like, fear behind, like, asking for space or someone else going and doing what they needed. Like, there was never, it doesn't seem like there's any air of like, oh, like, is, are they like gonna like drift away from the relationship or something like that?
I don't think they're, yeah, with anything like that, whenever an individual aspect of our relationship was something we each needed, I don't think there was ever a question that this was a sign either of drifting or that if we didn't get to do this, we would drift further away. Because I think we each knew what was important to each of us individually going into it. And even though they've changed over the years, I think we've maintained a pretty good way of vocalizing that to each one of us, so that we both know what we need to do that day. And I think that's been really helpful. I just think it's another cliche, but I just think the continuous aspect of communication is very helpful. And I think the first part of the morning is the best time to do that. And set clear
that's a
goals.
Great, like,
And so that's one thing that when we have a day off together, we can enjoy a cup of coffee. Yeah, but we don't really beat around the bush and just get right to it.
But I would say the thing that at this stage of my life, like, that does fill my cup the most is time with you.
Sure.
And quality time with you and Payson together. Yeah. Like, some of my favorite things are when we're all just sitting in the living room playing together. And so it's like that is a change now, but, like, sure, the quality time, I mean, that's my love language. So that is probably the thing that fills my cup the most.
And, and just to add to that, I think mutually caring and playing with Payson, our kid, has been the thing that's filled both of our cups so equally that it's so easy to kind of do that together because we both have the same goal versus two distinctly different things. Even though we've done that before, now that we have him and we do have the same cup to fill, it's been easier even because just it's our, we both align so well on it. So.
Food Norge, I think that's the right
thing. Well, either, yeah, I'm sharing the story.
No, please do Spark Notes. It's such a long story.
I'm going to do Spark Notes. Don't worry.
So
it was at our old house. No, it's just...
The one down the street?
Yes. We always get in these, like, awkward situations, but, like, my friend from PT school, him and his wife, wanted to stop by and say hi. Okay? So we're like, yeah, that's no problem. So... we hadn't seen him in a while, so we're like, yeah, we're just going to be at the house today. We have no plans. So they stop by. Well, then Matt starts texting me while we're there, like, hey, Mo's brother's in town from Chicago, but she has no idea. So we're going to go meet them close by, so can we hang out a little bit longer? And I'm like, yeah, sure, like, super secretive. Well, then he texts me, like, hey.
So your friend's texting you.
While they're there, but... Mo, his wife, her brother was in town, but she had no idea. So he's, like, texting me, like, all these secrets, right? And I'm like, okay, this is cool, whatever. But then it turns into, hey, so Mo's mom and brother are on their way here. She hadn't seen her brother in, like, 6 years or something weird like that. They're on their way here, and I'm like, wait, to my house? Yeah, is that okay? And I'm like, yeah. We run in the new year with this family having a reunion in our living room. Justin and I are in the kitchen like, what do we do? Like, do we kick them out? Like, we want to go to bed. So, yeah, it was so awkward, guys. Like, this family's having a reunion, like, crying, like, super excited to see one another. So, like, it's, like, hitting 12 o'clock, so I'm like, I get them champagne? Like, I'm, like, serving them champagne. Like,
we go take
our showers. We get in our pajamas. They're still at our house. And we're, like, they're, like, not picking up on the clues of, like, it was so awkward.
No.
Yeah, we're, like, brushing our teeth and ready for bed. And we're, like,
it's like 3 in the morning.
Do we say, like, can you leave now? It was...
What did you do?
So awkward. They finally left. But, like... We got into bed, and I was like, Happy New Year! It was the weirdest thing ever. But I'm like, who does that? Who, like...
They just use your house for their
reunion? For their reunion? It was so awkward.
And there's such nice people that it was, like, hard to, like, say no to them. And, like, so when the chance came to see them again, the next time they were in town was on our anniversary. And we almost saw them, and I said to him,
absolutely
not. After last time, this could only go down.
Oh, my God.
I'm
trying to dump the ball.
Oh, so funny.
I'm going to keep referring to it as a podcast.
Yeah. All right,
we're live.
Oh, yeah, we're live.
All right, we're live. We're back.
Okay.
This is where we'll edit things in.
Hey, guys. Welcome back.
That was our advertiser.
Thank you for listening Facebook. To our sponsor.
Now our first caller.
Small little independent firm called Facebook.
Okay.
All right, let's keep going.
So, what would you guys attribute to your success in your relationship?
Go ahead.
I have to think about this for a second.
All right. While you think, I will dabble a little bit, and I may have to
come
back.
I have ideas.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. First off, I think a lot of the things that were important to us when it came to relationships were very similar. So, like, family life is a huge importance to both of us. So that, like, things just kind of were natural, but, like, I think it worked for us because we had a lot of the same qualities or same things that were considered important to us. So we both came from pretty good families, I would say.
What do you mean by good? I don't mean that traditionally. Like, what do you mean by that?
For an example, both of our parents are still married. So, like, family is so important to us, and we both came from parents that had put a big impact on what marriage did to them and, like, what it... What am I trying to say?
You're just trying to say that, like, we came from two families where they, you know... The family was together, and that we were fortunate enough to come from those. So that when we were, you know, kind of courting each other and getting to know each other, we both learned that. I think that was like a mutual, I think we both just had that background, and we had that kind of familiarity of with like an intact family.
Yeah.
And so for us, I think the idea of us forming a family together, we kind of already had the foundation of what,
what,
you know,
that meant.
What that meant to each of us, at least. Or like what we anticipate our family life would look like.
We also had a lot of hobbies and stuff that were...
Yeah, I think that's been a big success. We both
like to do a lot of the same thing. So obviously that is...
These are all vague examples.
Yeah, that's very vague, but those are things that helped.
No, I mean, I think our success goes back to communication. I think we're, you know, we can both tell when the other person has something on their mind, so we just get it out of the room. We don't ever go to bed angry. We've stuck with that, too. I know that's another cliche, but, like, we always seem to have a way of hashing out the details before we go to sleep. I think we also get to the, if there's an argument that's brewing throughout the day, we get to it before it even comes to the point we're going to sleep. Let's deal with this while we're doing the dishes and that type of thing, because it's not worth kind of having that animosity towards each other. So we just don't let that happen.
And I think just having that mindset of like, in the end, like every day, I'm like, for the rest of my life, I'm going to make this successful, whatever it takes to make it successful.
Like I choose
never,
you.
Yeah, I never want to think of it as it's not going to work. In my head, no matter what goes on, we're going to do whatever it takes to make sure it's successful.
Yeah, and I think we both come from like a science background, and so kind of understanding like the, you know, the statistics on marriage and the statistics on family life and such, and like when you have the chance to like have somebody that you can choose and know that you're going to work through something in that manner and don't kind of let the statistics of, you know, you hear about the 50% divorce rate and stuff like that. Like we just didn't let that type of thing enter our marriage or enter our relationship because we just were overwhelmingly committed to each other in that sense.
So independently, what were your, because you talk about like you had a foundations of what marriage was from your family. So before you met, what was that for you each individually?
You go ahead first.
I think just, I would say, you know, at a certain age you start dating, realizing like you're not just dating to date anymore. It's who you want to spend the rest of your life with. And for me, like, seeing my parents who have been married for, I mean, they're at 40 years now, it was just the mindset of they've been through a ton of stuff together. And there were moments where, you know, you don't think it's going to work out, but they always seem to find a way to make it work out. So it was just that mindset of, like, you want to find that person when you're dating where it's like, I see me spending the rest of my life with that person, obviously. Yeah. And there's no other choice. Like, that's just what it is. So I just think I was fortunate enough to be surrounded by a lot of family members and friends who had been in very long-term marriages and relationships that I went into it just kind of knowing whoever you choose, it just has to be easy. You have to be able to talk to that person. And it should never be hard. It really shouldn't.
Yeah, I don't think so either. You know, you hear a lot of advice for people for, you know, especially at like a wedding, you know, like the first year's the hardest, then year three is hard, and the fifth year's hard, and the seventh year's hard. And like, I think, I just don't feel that way at all. Like, it just, I don't feel like each year has gotten harder. If anything, it's gotten easier. I think it's just like, it's just more and more natural every way, you know, everything that, you know, every obstacle or hurdle that we go through, I think it just gets easier after that. So I think you like pick up momentum that way. So like if you find in a relationship, it's like every time you get into something, it's harder to recover after that hurdle. I think that's a big red flag. And so I don't know if that's something you detect early on in the relationship or not. I just know that from the point of marriage on, and maybe from the moment that we committed to getting married on, it's just every hurdle seemed easier to jump over. And so I don't know if that was like something I picked up on the foundation in like my parents' relationship too. It must have, innately. But I think that was something that I don't think I really appreciated until maybe like halfway, a year and a half into being married, I realized like, wow, we just got through 18 months of being married. It just seemed like it was like super easy. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Mm-hmm. It was good. Yeah. You know, it goes to that quote, that like Bill Murray quote, like find somebody you can go get lost with in another country and get stuck there. And if you still want to get married when you come back, like be with that person. Like the idea of like go get into like some misadventures with someone. And if it seems easy enough to get out of, then it's somebody you can commit to. Mm-hmm. I like that quote.
Yeah, no, that's good.
Yeah.
I want to go back to something you said when you were talking about when there's something on your mind or something brewing, you guys try and take care of it as soon as possible. So basically it's like slaying the dragon before the dragon gets too big.
Yeah.
And what does that look like? Do you feel within yourself and then you come forward like, hey, I'm feeling this, or is it you notice it in each other and then you not confront but bring it up to the other person, maybe confront them, I don't know, whatever. However it looks like.
This is something we definitely had to learn.
Yeah, this is still something we're learning. We're definitely learning this.
And
I
we're
mean,
still learning, obviously.
I think it comes down to a, you know, you can feel it in the air. It's palpable, right? And we still probably do some component of a dance that we've been doing for years where you can still, like, we're dancing around it. You kind of, like, you have, like, the gunslinger mentality. You walk past each other in the hallway without, like, making eye contact
well,
for just for a second.
Everything on my, I she can't hide it. Even if I try, I can't hide it.
Yeah, she wears it on her face. And so after, like, a few, however many minutes it is or an hour that it is, whatever it is, after a certain period of time, it's just like, okay, we need to, like, clear the air. This is getting awkward. And so it takes one of us, obviously, to just bring it up, you know, put it out there and unpause whatever it is that we're hiding from. And usually it starts, I think it usually starts a little bit more of, like, you did this and this is how you made me feel. And we go back and forth on that for a little while until we either come to a terms of what the other person's trying to express, or we can get to the point where it's, I understand why you were acting that way. All right, so let's move forward in this direction. And so I think it's, you know, it's a dance that lasts anywhere from a few hours to the whole day, but it's never lapsed into multiple days for us.
No, it depends on timing. If we're here and it's just us,
it's easier to
we'll usually confront it then and there. That's taken time, though. Like, my mindset usually is, like, if something's bothering me, I try to play it out in my head multiple ways of like, okay, but why is it? I try to think it through without making something bigger than what it needs to be. And all of that tends to do is he knows something's going on, but I'm sort of trying to like play it out. It's like, no, it's not a big deal, because I'm trying to make it not a big deal. But obviously now it's becoming a big deal. And so like that's something we've had to work through for sure, because I used to not be a confronting person. I didn't like doing that. And especially when we're just at home, if something's bothering us, we've gotten so much better. And by us, I kind of mean me, of just being like, hey, this is bothering me or whatever. He always jokes with me that I decide to bring things up right when we're going to bed. He's like eyes closed falling asleep, and I'll be like, hey, this is bothering me. So we have some room for improvement. I can try to bring those things up earlier in the day than right before we're going to bed.
Ideally.
But it also makes it kind of funny, too, because then we end up joking more so about it and definitely never go to bed upset.
You've gotten a lot better at that, though.
I have. Thank you.
I don't know if it's that you've calmed it, like you, in the sense of like you realize you did it, or that we're just getting better and you're having less things to think about. I think it's probably you're just getting better at it and you're saving it for the morning, which is fine. But I think you embrace it with a different mindset than you do at the end of the day.
Yeah, I'm trying not to save it for the end of the day anymore.
I think that we keep referencing that cup of coffee in the morning where we talk about like what our goals are for each of the day. That's also the same time that we can discuss, you know, the big picture stuff that comes onto each one of our minds. Mm. But most of the time it's like things that we're optimistic about from a big picture, whether it's planning a trip, planning the next week or whatever it is. So
I like that, like a part in your day where you just like connect first.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I think we've been good about making that, like, the first part of the day, which I think is good.
On the mornings you're here.
On the mornings I'm here.
Yeah.
Yeah, indeed.
We try.
Yeah, I think that's helpful.
But then some mornings it's sort of like, we have nothing to talk about. It's like, hey, Jazzy, sleep. Good? All right, cool. It's put on a show.
Exactly.
Or read our books separately.
Yeah, exactly.
So how did you guys, or when did you guys make that kind of pact of not going to bed angry?
I think right away.
Like when you first started dating, you were kind of like,
oh, yeah.
Was it like an unspoken thing, or was it like
I think it was initially. I think we,
yeah.
You know, I remember having some arguments or something that got into the midst of the night, and I think it was just both of our, like, we knew we wouldn't sleep well, you know, I mean, it's like there's the physical ramifications of, you don't like to sleep well, you're going to be emotional, you're going to be, you know, tearful. And so I think the idea of, well, let's clear the air first and then get a good night's sleep, albeit another cliche, I think that was probably the thing that we realized. And then in that same metaphor of like things got easier and picked up momentum, I think we've just gotten a little bit better at it, mm-hmm. where we're capturing that, let's get this out of the way earlier before it leads to us laying awake all night thinking about what the other person's thinking.
But that definitely didn't come natural to me. Like I was saying, I was the type that, like, I'd rather just not talk about things, and so I would hold on to it, but he would just pick up on my energy or something to where, like, he kind of didn't allow that to happen. So it would be when we'd get Ryan to bed, he'd be like, all right, what's going on? And I recognized how nice it was to actually talk about those things and be like, oh, once I say it out loud and we talk it through, you hear their side, you tell your side, and it's like, oh, it was just a misunderstanding. And then you go to bed and it's fantastic. So, but that took definitely some learning for me, because that was not easy to confront situations at first at all. But
I think it always,
it's so important.
I think it always ends the same way too, in an almost sarcastic humor of whatever it was that we were fighting about. You can tell the argument ends when you can either A, one of us can make fun of ourselves about it, mm-hmm. and you can like feel that like that like heaviness coming off the shoulder as soon as the other person laughs mm-hmm. at that. It's almost like you're on the downhill slope at that point. But everything keeps building up until that point, and then all of a sudden you just like feel this reprieve.
Yeah. And maybe we're just lucky, but I think a lot of times when we're having these conversations, it's so simple as just a miscommunication.
Totally.
Like, neither of us are ever doing anything to try to hurt the other person. And when
sure.
you hear someone else's side of a story, you're like, oh, yeah, I thought this was happening because of this. Like, it's just a miscommunication. So, like, once you actually communicate about it,
it becomes funny.
There's no reason to hold on to it.
Yeah.
So you said that Justin kind of helped you see that part of yourself, that you would hold on to things and not want to express them.
Mm-hmm.
Has he done anything else for you in that way to like kind of show you some blind spots that you had? And conversely, Justin, has Haley shown you blind spots that has made you kind of a better version of yourself?
Yeah,
I guess you could say that you might not have seen outside of that relationship.
That's a really good question.
Yeah, I'll have to think about that.
I was
going to
say, I think a lot of that type of, I think a lot of those traits that you would reference is almost one of those things where it's like you're blind to it, you know, where
right.
she's undoubtedly done many of those things to me, but off the cuff, probably I can't think of a specific one, but I think blindly, you know, I think she's probably helped mold me into obviously molded me into a better version of myself. I mean, that goes without saying. But I would say, let me think if I can think of something specific.
I always kind of joke with him where I'm like, man, when we first dated, like, how did you date me? Like, I look back where we've just changed so much since we originally started dating one another. And obviously, you grow up together, you grow individually and stuff like that. But I think the biggest thing is just, mainly communication. I had never talked openly to anyone about a lot of stuff, and now I feel like he can't get me to stop talking. Where I share probably way too much with him now, but like, I mean, he just was so easy to talk to and just made it where such a safe space that I shared with him things that I'd been holding on to in my life for a really long time and had never done that before. And so it was just, I mean, we just talk so much. Well, I talk a lot now, so that was a big change. But then also, I don't know. I used to be a very, very stressed. anxious person, very low confidence person, and in this time, you've just made me feel so secure and confident, and you make me feel like I can do anything that I want. You support me with anything I want to try to do, which are things that I would never have had the confidence to do before. But I would say the main thing is, like, life is just kind of easy and super not stressful with you. Because you kind of are able to help calm me down in every situation. So
thank you.
I think those are my biggest changes. But I was a mess.
I would piggyback upon it. I would disagree. You were definitely not a mess. But I think you've strengthened each one of those traits that you just referenced. But I was also a very anxious person. I felt like it. Maybe I didn't show it in... I probably showed it in primarily in like an obsessive compulsive way. Like I was excessively clean, excessively organized. And I think...
Which I don't take advantage of at all at our house. Absolutely not.
And I think that was my way of kind of like covering that type of... Like, it was my way of having control, as we were talking about. And so I think she's helped me strip that away a little bit, where I'm still organized and we're still cleanly, but it's not as much of a control issue anymore for me. It's not so much that I have to do this so that I can have balance in my life. It's more of I do it because that's just kind of my nature, but I think you've stripped away, like, the part of it that kind of held its toll over me in that sense and made me less anxious. So I think that's been really good.
To go along with that, though, you still have your tendencies and your moments, but I think now it's that communication of, like, when I can kind of point it out to you, you go, oh, I didn't realize I was getting a little bit more obsessive with
X, Y, Z
or something like that. So
yeah, it's been good.
And then really quick, I think we, like, lean in when we talk. I think it might...
I was worried about that.
Not super lean in, but I think, like, just...
Like, I was worried about that.
When you're gulping my tea, and I'm like, they're going to pick up on...
Oh, yeah. It picks up on everything. I just notice, like, the waves are a little bit higher. Larger. Like, when you're, like, just facing it and, like, in a little.
Sure.
Versus, like, back.
Talking to one another.
Like, and we were talking and, like, kind of mumbling a little bit.
Yeah. I think it's still going to be fine because I listened to it before, but just...
Okay.
That's fine. Good to know. Definitely good to know. This will be a little bit of a trial run. Yeah. COVID secure.
So all those questions all over again.
Yeah. We'll just take them from the top.
We're great. Life is good.
Okay, let's see.
No, I was just going to say, I think I've noticed... No, I think. I definitely have noticed a change in you. Obviously, it's been over, like, 15 years.
So I hope there's a change in 15 years.
Same kid, just talking about Kia Sedona.
Yeah, Kia Sedona.
Saying it like Elvis. No, I just think that there's more... I don't know if purpose is the right word, but it just feels like you have more, direct purpose in your day-to-day. We used to call you Frosted Flake in high school.
That's right.
Because you would always flake out on everything.
That's right.
What?
I was always, I'll think about it or I'll see you guys there type of thing.
Yeah. And we never see him there.
Surprising. Right.
Yeah.
Never show up kind of thing.
But now...
Oh, you did tell me that about him. Frosted Flakes.
Yeah. I was kind of like, I'll think about it. I'll keep my options open.
Did she ever flake on you?
Yeah, have you ever flaked on me? Or I feel like I probably flaked on you more on accident.
You know? I have one time in particular.
Which moment are you referring to?
Digging deep.
This is deep.
This is deep. We're going deep. Shadow work.
No, this was when we had, like, ended things, but then we, like, had started talking kind of again. Mm-hmm. And you were down in Tucson, and I was at my parents' place in Tucson. You were doing your rotation.
That's right.
But you were, like, in downtown Tucson. Sure. I was in Marana, so we were very far apart. But I was, like, super excited to go see you. So I, like, got all dressed. I did my makeup. I was going to drive in to see him. And he was like, well, how far are you? And I was like, oh, I think I'm, like, 45 minutes. And you were like, oh, well, that's far. Like, don't worry about it. And I'm going to go to bed. And I was just like, oh, man. And that's when I was like, no, done.
And then, like, a week later, whatever.
Yeah.
I got over it, obviously.
No, I think coming from a small town, 45 minutes seems like a very far drive to come see somebody.
My future husband.
We didn't know that then. And so I would have felt bad if it was a waste of your time. Mm-hmm. You know? I didn't even have a plan.
Oh, it's looking out for Haley.
You didn't have
Appreciate
strawberries
that.
This time.
Yeah, exactly. Not a strawberry date this time. Yeah, I think the flakiness has kind of rescinded. I feel more mature in my relationship. I feel more meaning from this relationship, meaning as a dad, meaning as a husband. And I think all those things have just, like, strengthened that bond, even with people outside of this relationship. So it's been really good.
Yeah, I'd say so.
I think my relationship, even with you... Well, you know, as my best friend and for 15 years, I think my relationship with him has obviously changed while dating you too. But I mean, in the past 3 years that we've been married, I've seen him the least, but I still feel like our relationship was almost unchanged or got better too as a result of marrying her, you know.
Yeah.
Albeit we don't have as much time together maybe, but...
For Tony Hawk,
Pro Skater 1 and 2. But...
Remastered.
But I think, like, even our relationship, I think, has, like, remained, like, really good throughout this. And just in a way that we can be open and honest, I can bring details of my marriage in without making it, you know, creating this, like, extramarital person in my relationship. You know, you're part of it. You're just, like, part of our story, and you're there for advice. And I think that's been good.
The glue that binds you together.
I was dancing around it, but that's exactly what I meant to say.
There's a reason. You are... Why our marriage works.
Yeah, thank you, Chris. Don't go anywhere.
But to your point, yeah, I think because we were so close, we would always be hanging out. We lived together for multiple years in college.
Sure. Even lived together during this relationship.
Yeah.
You know?
For a good year and a half.
Year and a half, 2 years almost. So
yeah,
you get to see it grow.
It just feels more, I don't know, solid. Real, like, unshakable.
Yeah,
I guess would be the right way to describe it.
I like that term, and it feels that way. And
oh, thank you.
Yeah, I mean, it does. It feels really good. You know, it feels like we, like I said, that momentum's picked up, and now it feels like really strong.
Yeah, and I think what I feel there is what I see in you two.
Mm.
Just that, like, that change that I was describing,
sure,
is that, like, really strong, unshakable foundation as a person. Like, you're you.
Yeah.
You know? Before, you weren't necessarily you. You're
yeah.
a lot of you
yeah.
trying to figure out the right you.
You were nothing before.
No, you're absolutely right. I think I was. I was a Justin to Haley. I was a Justin to Chris. I was a Justin to all these different people in my life. And maybe that was, like, a little bit of a different person for each. And while there's still a component of that with everybody,
sure,
I think I'm certainly more, like you said, I have a foundation. I'm me. And more people can, you know, if people describe me now, I think more people are going to get the same description than they would have before.
Mm. I agree with that.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, when we first started dating, you were definitely...
Even then, yeah. And especially before then, when I was still
yeah,
young,
you were trying to figure
college.
Out who you were, and everyone is, but...
For sure. But yeah. I think, yeah, now at this point, I'd like, yeah, I know who I am. Or at least I feel like I do. At 30.
Yeah.
Ask me again at 40 and 50 and 60. We'll see. But I feel, yeah, I feel like me. I feel like that's just gotten easier while being married to you.
One thing you said, though, at our wedding in your speech, I will, like, always hold on to. And it has always, I mean, it has stuck with me. He had the best man speech I've ever heard. And not that it was because it was at my wedding. It was, if I heard it on YouTube, I would have cried. Like, it was such a good speech.
Yeah,
should we put it on YouTube?
We probably do. I want to watch
it.
We have
really
it. We'll watch
powerful.
It after
okay.
this.
We reference, like, every time it comes on when we watch our wedding video,
we
always
skip
talk
through,
about it.
Yeah, we skip through everyone's
I'll skip through
speeches.
The vows.
We skip through our own vows.
To listen to
we
your speech.
We never skip his speech.
Yeah.
It was so good.
Wait, yeah. I thought you said you were good at speech.
No, it was fantastic.
He's very good at
bombed speaking. My brothers.
I don't really remember Pete's all that much, to be perfectly honest. But I
did good on yours, and I feel like Andrew and Nicole had a lot of stuff going on at that wedding, so I was like, all my eggs were in too many baskets.
Yeah, there's potential for that one.
But it also wasn't my wedding, but I don't remember that one.
But a very good speech, and we'll play it for you afterwards.
Yeah.
It's very, very good.
But the line that always sticks out to me was just how you were like, and Haley... pretty much saying, like, don't hold Justin back. He was meant to move mountains. That was the line you said, that he's meant to move mountains.
It was
so,
a very powerful word.
Like,
it felt good. Yeah, I really appreciate that as, like, as like my
And that best has always man. Stuck with me because I'm like, he is meant to move mountains. Like, whatever I do, I need to choose in our marriage to lift him and support him and let him become who he's supposed to be. And I don't know, I just always, every decision I make throughout the day is, how is that going to affect Justin? And is it going to be best for us and not, you know, individually me necessarily? And just making sure every decision I make is going to be uplifting for him and supporting of whatever he wants to do. But that is so off topic, but I just wanted to throw that in there that, like, your speech, that line is just something that I try to think of constantly, is just making sure that I'm always lifting him up and supporting him in every way that I can.
Just to piggyback on that real quick before we switch, it was, you just reminded me of something that I find myself thinking about on pretty much every day, all day long while I'm awake, is the, like, unconscious selflessness that you kind of have to have, in the sense of, you know, like she says, on these even small decisions of, like, how does that also impact her? And silly things like going to the gym. Is this the right time to go into the gym to play basketball? Is this the right time I should be mowing the lawn? And you kind of, like, just think of these. I mean, there's little transactions in your day, but, like, you kind of always have to have some reference of your partner and where they're at in their day. Otherwise, I feel like you're just going to offset the balance a little bit. Mm-hmm. And so, like, if you went through a day completely selfish, you may have this day that you check all your boxes and that type of thing, but you would, like, throw the balance out of the relationship dramatically. And you notice it by the end of the day, for sure. Mm-hmm. And so I think just kind of constantly having that unconscious selflessness, you just don't even know you're doing it most of the time. But, yeah, that's when you know you're, like,
and maybe it's because we have a one-year-old, but, like,
yeah,
every decision we make, we're, like, who asks if they can mow the lawn at that moment? Well, he does, because he wants to make sure it's an okay moment with me and Payson together. Like, do I have it under control? 5 years from now, will we have to do that?
No.
Probably not. It'll probably be like, oh, sweet, he's mowing the lawn. Like, you don't have to ask for permission or anything like that. But right now, we kind of both just ask each other throughout the, on the days he's home and stuff, like, hey, is it a good time for me to...
We do that all the time. We probably ask that question in some form or another 10 or 15 times a day. So I just didn't realize we were doing that either until a couple of months ago when I was like, wow, we do that all the time. We're constantly asking each other.
We want each other to have good days.
Right. Yeah. It's not necessarily like a permission thing as much as it is like a you're good with this, right, kind of thing. So
it reminds me of we had this day, and I hope you don't take this offensively. I feel like now you're going to like wake up every morning and ask me, and I... So there was this one morning that you woke up before me, and the night before we went to bed, I just had planned in my head, like, oh, I want to go with him on his walk tomorrow morning. Mm. And I didn't say anything to you, and then you woke up earlier than me, which you normally do, but I guess sometimes we wake up together, and I guess in my head I had envisioned that we were going to wake up at the same time that morning because I wanted to go on the walk with you guys, and we were going to go on a walk together. And I woke up and you weren't in bed, and I was like, oh, like I was like kind of sad, and I was like, they went on the walk without me, like what? But you know, like it wasn't. I don't know. Like he didn't do anything wrong. Yeah, he didn't know. But we like I hadn't checked in the night before. We hadn't checked in the morning. Yeah, like there was no checking in that I did. So, but.
That's a good point. It's a good point, yeah.
Doesn't it seem silly, though, to have to check in on every single thing? Yeah. But it works for us. And maybe it's just the stage we're in. Like we said, we used to not be like that. But now we really are. Before bed, it's, hey, what time are you setting your alarm? What are you going to do when you set your alarm? It's like kind of wanting to know.
The predictive kind of pattern.
We tend to turn our alarms off a lot, but we have good... motivation when we go to bed to like get up and exercise or something, but it doesn't always happen.
Yeah, it's always just kind of it's like a play by play in a game. You're just kind of wanting to know what the next play is going to be. You don't need to know what the next play is 5 years from now, but it's good to know what's happening after breakfast. So
yeah,
I think we do that all day long.
And I love that it works for us right now. I hope we can eventually transition.
I agree.
When there aren't the kids around, where it's like, do we have to have any plans? Can't we just be? But
yeah.
That's what works for us right now. Hi, sweet girl.
So to switch it from, like, plans and normal, like, day-to-day life things, how do you guys keep things, like, exciting and fun
especially with a one-year-old. And I know he can bring new excitement and fun to it.
Definitely.
That's just, like, the given. So we'll just throw that one out, where it's, like, anytime we can just be and play with him and it's us as a family, it's the best. Like, every day is something new, especially with his age. He changes so much, so we fully enjoy that. Between us...
Exciting and new?
Mm-hmm.
I think exciting and new with a one-year-old, like you said, it's definitely picking the right times of the day. And so our day is obviously broken up into before he wakes up, when he goes back down, before he wakes up, and when he goes back down.
So it's morning, a little afternoon nap, and then...
In the evening. And so we use those times, usually we try not to dedicate that entire time just to chores, which would be an ideal time, obviously, to do most of that type of stuff. We're playing catch up, and so I think to keep things fresh, we will each. I mean, it sounds silly, but the things we most enjoy are just times where we can sit on the couch together and drink a cup of tea and watch a movie. And I don't know.
TV shows become kind of exciting because we don't really have time. So it's like, oh my gosh, we can watch a show that doesn't sing silly songs. You know, like we can actually watch one of our shows. So like, not saying that's what's exciting to us, but right now it kind of is.
It kind of is, and it does sound mundane, but it's very good for us. And then we're both good about going back and forth, so that we each get a show. You know, one night we'll watch her show, one night we'll watch mine. We try to find mutual stuff, and then.
And then this is going to sound super lame, but, like, I get so much joy cooking for him and being able to give you, like, healthy meals and, like, so when Payson goes down for his nap or whatever, like, I love being, like, I tried something new, like, I hope you like it. So, like, being able to give him a good meal and us eat lunch together on the days he's off and stuff like that, that's my, like, kind of daily thing that I get excited about is being able to actually cook him food.
And on days we don't have necessarily plans, I keep a running list on my phone of things that I want to take her to. And the list is still growing faster than it's dwindling by far. But I try to check something off every couple of weeks when we try to go do something. A lot of time we like to go out and adventure. And so it's just the excitement of planning something like that together is pretty fun. And so we look into try to do those as often as we can.
Yeah. We're big, like, travelers and outdoorsy people. So, you know, on some of his days off, if we can just get up north and go hiking or do something like that as a family, that is just such a nice escape for both of us, I think.
Sure.
So we try to still do a lot of our hobbies that we had before having a kid and just do those things as much as possible.
For sure.
Too. But now it's kind of even more exciting because it's adventures for the first time with a kid. So it's, like, so new and exciting and seeing his reaction. So, But it's really kind of planning around his schedule. And when he goes down, we try to make sure we dedicate at least some of that time to one another and not just to the things we have to get done for the day.
Definitely.
Yeah. And then you guys mentioned before your love languages.
Mm-hmm.
So did you guys took the test, you know what you are. Like, how does that play a role in your relationship? And, like, how early did you start incorporating that?
Early.
Really early, yeah. We both had read it, I think, before we even started dating. So,
and then reread it on a trip to the Grand Canyon.
And took the quiz together.
A year into the relationship, give or take.
And then it's so funny that you mentioned that, though, because mine totally changed after having a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Mine beforehand was, like, the physical touch and then quality time. And then I think after having a baby and I'm like a nursing mom, you have a lot of physical touch that, like, I got to where I was just sort of like, oh, okay, I kind of need my space. But so we had to communicate that a lot where it was like, I don't really like when you're doing that right now. Like, I kind of need space. So he was sort of confused at first.
That transition was tough.
Yeah.
just needed, like, a lot of communication.
Yeah, where I felt like he became more of, like, the physical touch one. And, like, we've had this that talk of, like, hey, don't you want to, like, rub my back or touch me or, like, something? So that just, like, kind of was interesting to be like, oh, I didn't even realize they changed, too. Sorry. But, yeah, mine's now quality time.
Yeah. And mine's, I think I stayed pretty consistent. It was
words of affirmation.
Words of affirmation has always been mine. And so she's been good. She's been great about that. And it just, it took the acknowledgement of it. And then obviously it takes kind of like the repetition aspect of it. But then as even with having a kid, you know, she's been able to continue to like expand upon that, especially with going back to work and with raising him and with every part that's in you know, label to that. I think she's done a really good job with that.
Thank you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But acknowledging it, it's always been really big, for sure.
Do you have any other?
Here's a question. So, like, mm-hmm. Five Love Languages is a resource that you guys use to better understand yourselves and your relationship. Have you ever had any other resources that you use that have found to be, like, really helpful or meaningful?
That's a really good question. I'm trying to think of any other books we've read or any other stuff that we would have, you know, reached out to. Like, you were never a Cosmo person, like that type of thing. No. And, you know, we're never, like, subscribed to anything of that nature.
I'm starting to get interested in the, I think it's pronounced Enneagram.
Oh yeah.
I haven't done it yet, but like I've read up on it and I'm like, okay, I'm pretty sure I know what I am. I know you're not supposed to label any other person, but I think I know what he is. But I'm starting to learn a little bit about that stuff. So I can't say I've used that as a resource, but I'm excited to actually learn about that. Do you guys know about?
Yeah. You guys I'm a four.
We think I'm a two.
Yeah.
A two.
Okay.
I don't know what I am. I've taken it. I don't remember what number I was, but I don't think I was a four or a two, if I remember right. Yeah. I think I was.
I don't know what you are. Andrew, Nicole have been into it for a little while, so.
Okay. Yeah. I don't really. Going back to your original question, I don't really think I do. I can't think of a resource or
one thing. I forget who the author is. It's on our bookshelf. I might have you go grab it. Right before marriage, we had discussed doing like premarital counseling or something just because we had been told it's a really good resource, but with him doing ER we didn't have a consistent schedule, so it was like impossible to schedule anything. So instead we read Love is a Decision. Do you remember that? And we did that together.
Yes I do.
What was his name?
I can't remember. It's basically another it's almost like another aspect of Five Love Languages. It's very similar, at least in that nature, and offered a lot of similar tones and themes. And
so he would like read a chapter out loud, I'd read a chapter out loud, and we'd just have discussions on our thoughts on it, and it was kind of used, I guess, as our premarriage.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but other than that, no.
No, not really.
Is that Gary Smalley and John Trent?
I think so, yeah.
That's exactly it. I was going to say Smalley.
I did like it.
Oh, yeah. I ended up buying a couple more of his books, of Gary Smalley's books after that.
Yeah, it was very good. Yeah, I think it was a good resource.
If you want it, you can have it.
For people who don't have the ability to go seek out that type of
counseling. It does have like a religious theme. So it might not be for everyone, but we enjoyed it.
Yeah, it did. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it was still good. Still offered a lot of, like, things that are important in everyday life, for sure.
Mainly talks about communication. I'll just throw that out there. Yeah.
What was it like seeing each other, like, become mother and, like, father?
Oh,
like,
gosh,
a dad and a mom.
Cry.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
It was great. I mean, Haley came into that role, like, overwhelmingly naturally. Like, it was just, you know, second nature to her. And it's been the best, she's been, like, the best version of herself, I think, as a mom. And it's made it so incredibly, like, I guess easy isn't the right word, but so easy for me just to, like, watch her motherly skills. Like, she just... I really can't express how easy it seems to come to you.
Thank you.
And so, you know, like watching that as the new father, it's like, it just seemed like it was just like the perfect role. You know, it just solidifies that decision of, and not that it needed solidifying, but just solidifying that decision of like the, you know, my person, you know, the person I'm supposed to be with. And yeah, Payson's very lucky and fortunate to have you.
Thank you. Yeah. I would say same, like watching you morph, it is so funny because, like,
it seems like you kind of did go from, like, a boy to a man. In a way, like, just kind of taking on those roles where you're like, I now need to keep them safe and provide for the family. It just became so much stronger once you became a dad, too, which was really cool to see. Where you just kind of definitely became, I don't know, stronger in that sense, I guess.
Sure. Appreciate that.
But then, like, softer at the same time. Like, seeing him holding Payson and talking in a high voice to him and singing these silly songs and, like, just becoming such a little love bug with him. It's so cool. And one of my favorite things is even if you've had the hardest day at work, like, the moment you see him, it's like you let everything go and you're just... It's hard to have a bad day around him. Like, yeah. Definitely is a really...
Is that Justin or Payson?
Both. Let me just say both. I'll just throw that in there. Payson. So seeing you, even on your toughest days, just be able to snap completely out of it when you become, you know, you jump into that dad role as soon as you get home and you kind of let everything else go. And it's really refreshing to see you,
thank you.
Like that. So
appreciate that.
Yeah.
This is just a fun one. What's the, since you guys said you like traveling, what's your favorite trip that you've gone on together?
One, two, three.
New Zealand.
Yeah. We have that one down.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one's for sure. We got a Sprinter van.
Pay whatever it takes to get there.
Oh, fun. Yeah, it was awesome.
Get a Sprinter van and just drive. We did the South Island
over 2 weeks and had a great trip.
And just drive and see the sheep everywhere and eat all the food. And
I think this is one of those examples where it's like, you know, go somewhere far, you know, be real close with someone in a 50 square foot van.
So many things went wrong. Many, yet it's still.
Yeah, and I think.
There was, what did they call it?
Cyclone Jita.
There was a cyclone the day we landed, and we're in this tiny little.
Wait, what is that?
It's like a hurricane.
That's what they call hurricanes in the southern.
Oh
hemisphere.
My! So God. Driving on the wrong side of the road in a hurricane.
No.
the first 4 days were there. Yeah.
Who was
still
driving?
One of our favorites. Oh, definitely. Yeah. definitely not me. But like our times we got out of the van were to go into a grocery store to grab more towels and paper towels and things like
those
that.
Were our
because
adventures for the first couple
it
of days.
It was just so much rain and everything was getting soaked and yeah, but we still had the best time while we were there.
Yeah, it was awesome. Definitely my favorite place I've ever
incredible.
Been. For sure. For yeah. sure. Yeah. What about you guys? Have you traveled?
Not a ton.
Well, yeah.
Quarantine.
COVID-19
is rampaging through the streets.
It's humble traveling.
Like to walk to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
These, they have a good sour candy. And
it's fantastic.
So.
It's fantastic.
But lots of dreams, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Places
yeah.
to go together.
Yeah.
Gosh,
definitely.
That'll be so fun.
I'm going to flip the script on you. If you go anywhere right now, once COVID is lifted, in a perfect world where COVID is not something to think about, where would you go?
I think I know yours and you know mine.
Let's hear it. Let's see if you get them right.
Okay.
Japan.
No.
And Thailand.
Yeah.
Thailand. Nice. Okay.
I was going to say you say mine, but yeah. we all know his.
Everybody knows
yeah.
mine is Japan.
Yeah.
Always
yeah.
Japan.
Always.
How about if you had to go somewhere new?
Thailand too.
How
Japan.
You've been to Japan.
Different parts of Japan.
Okay. If you had to stay away from the country of Japan, where would you go? Think of the map.
You can't just mouth it.
Yeah.
No, honestly, Thailand sounds
pretty awesome.
Incredible.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really, it's Singapore.
Yeah.
Today,
yes.
I've heard the name, known it's a country.
Right.
Never have looked at pictures, or if I've seen pictures,
it's
didn't
incredible.
Know Singapore.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks beautiful.
Isn't it incredible?
Isn't it like one of the richest places in the world?
It is. Yeah. It's beautiful. It must be a great place to go.
So that's on our list.
Yeah.
Cool.
Sure.
Singapore would be a very
then,
cool.
Obviously,
place.
I want to go to the Netherlands, make that trip happen at some point.
Definitely.
But
what is yours at this point?
If I could go anywhere where I haven't been,
yeah.
I would probably go...
Oh, Australia. You've
I think I'd want to go to Australia. I'd like to see the Great Barrier Reef and stuff. I think that'd be cool. But there's big bugs and scary stuff. So we'll see.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see.
Yeah. Dingoes.
Kangaroos.
Dingoes.
You want to go to Patagonia.
Yeah, Argentina would be good, too. I'd love to see Argentina.
I've heard Buenos Aires is like...
Pretty cool city.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure. I'd love to see that.
Hmm.
One day.
Well, you got anything else for them?
I think that concludes it.
Yeah, we had more questions, but you guys basically answered all of them
within the confines of the other ones.
Yeah,
what you were saying.
I looked into all these questions throughout the course of the day.
Did you Google the answers?
I Googled the answers and everything.
Yeah,
no, but I did. But by the time it came to like answer them, I was like fizzled out from the brain.
Was all did I we kind of ask to. That? What's the easiest thing in your relationship? Like, what comes the most natural?
That's a good question. What comes the most natural?
Oh gosh, I
think being in somebody else's presence without like, I don't know, without feeling like you're in that person's presence. Does that make sense? In the same sense, like in the sense that like, we can both act very naturally, but still do the same goal for each other. So if you had a chore to do and I didn't, I think it's just the acknowledgement of like.
You sound like all we do is chores.
Okay, but we all do. All we do is chores. In the sense that, like, I think we can.
Justin.
Exactly.
I think we can just both acknowledge when one of us has something to do and the other doesn't that we work towards that same thing together.
Yeah.
To get it done sooner, so that we can relax together.
So there's no like. Oh, like you didn't do this, or you should do this. You guys just like naturally like get the thing done.
Yeah,
like you guys just.
I think so.
So you're not keeping score.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's a good way.
That's
to
a better
sure.
version of what I'm
good.
Trying to say. I don't think we do.
I was gonna say just at this point, and obviously we'll always have things to work on, but like communication. Like I look forward to getting to share so much with you, and like good or bad, I'm never able to hide anything from you. Like, I never would want to hide anything. Like, it's just such a natural thing to just share.
Yeah.
Like, everything.
For example, when I leave the hospital, you know, working in the ER, I don't really, like, look at my phone all that much just because it's just like, high pace. You know how this is. And so at the end of the day, I have, like, 5 text messages, 10 emails, you know, that type of stuff. And it's like, okay, I'll get to all that later. So first thing I do is I call her, and she kind of gives me, like, the spark notes of the day. And lets me know how Payson was doing, what she accomplished, what the rest of our day looks like. And I think that communication, you know, it's like a recap. And then we also can just focus on, like, what we're going to do once I get home. And where do we go from there?
And then I think that also the easiest thing is just putting you first.
And conversely, you first.
Like, really, like, my whole day is organized on how I'm going to make it better for you, pretty much.
Me too.
Yeah, right. That's not a natural man's mindset.
Natural.
That way it comes a little more naturally to a girl.
Oh, okay.
I would think, at least. Maybe I'm wrong.
Okay.
Prove it. I'm just kidding.
Sounds natural. I agree? Yeah, I'd say, I think, right?
Yeah, maybe. Like, women tend
Allison
to just
Armstrong.
Be, like, a little bit more nurturing.
Yeah.
And, like, the diffuse awareness versus, like, single focus. Like, we're able to, like, take in more information.
She was, like, one of the authors in, like,
where
the
men,
court,
they're,
right?
like, very
yeah,
single
yeah.
focus. They
yes.
can only, like, take in, like, one, yeah, source
yeah,
of
so
information.
Yeah, so now that just comes, yeah, way more naturally on my end, at least.
Yeah, thinking back on it, yeah, I don't think of every decision as if it helps you or not. But I think of some of them.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But you check in.
Check in. We check in.
Check in on your chores.
Quite a bit. Check in on her chore list. It almost sounds like life is just one big chore list. But it's not. It's just, that's just how I organize things in my head.
It is.
After I empty the dishwasher, I'll check in on Haley's mindset.
I mean, it makes sense, right? If that's what occupies your mental space, you need a clear mental space to then go do the other things that are important to you.
You just explained Justin in one sentence.
Yeah. I've known him a long time.
It's like a checklist manifesto. It's like, click, 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 click.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Move on to the next.
So true. It's,
you know, computer-based a little bit.
Yeah.
All right, what else you got for us? Anything? Have we been super exciting?
Yeah, just your social security, credit card numbers. Yeah.
They'll be emailed to you.
Wonderful. No, I think that was great.
Cool. Yeah, thank you guys.
Thank you guys.
Thank you so much.
This was fun. I'm sorry we were a little scatterbrained and a little off topic from here to there, but I appreciate it. You guys
great.
Did really good.
And when was the last time you were interviewed?
Oh, God.
No, when was the last time?
Oh, I thought you said this is the last time.
I never had something like this set up in front of me. Like, it's intimidating.
The microphone.
Yeah, it was, I liked it. I think it would have been different doing it in like a
You're like, come back, let's do this
let's
again.
Let's do this again, right. I think it would have been different in like a back and forth type of thing. Not that like you couldn't be the questioners and we couldn't be the, but like I wish we were like.
Look here, pal. We call a shot.
Right, but I mean like I think I would have been more, this is just my own comfortability thing. It would be like if it was like a back and forth type of thing. But this is not, that's not meant to be a negative. That's just my own comfortability.
Like us sharing
this.
Too.
Right, exactly, where it's like this like round table almost.
And how does that make you feel?
Nervous, sweaty.
When I did, when she interviewed me on her podcast, yeah. I was like sweating bullets. Like yeah. Legitimately, I was hot, I was sweaty, I was real uncomfortable.
What's your podcast?
I watched
do
part
you
of that
podcast?
Episode.
Oh, you did you listen to that episode?
I did.
I'm sorry.
I didn't. You were a little nervous, but you did good.
I think in that episode too, I try never to listen to it, and now I really never want to, because I'm pretty sure I like referenced you as like a brother multiple times. Like I'm like, yeah, he's like the brother I never wanted. Like we're such brother sister. Like
wait, this was before you were dating.
Oh yeah, this was like a
this
year ago.
This was like
oh,
or more.
God.
You should probably delete that.
That's awesome. Oh my goodness.
Who is the girl that you were doing it with?
It's my friend Maya.
Okay.
Yeah, so we have a
was she on the podcast. Skype thing? No.
No, she was okay. Not. No. That was Alyssa, yeah.
Okay.
That's your podcast.
So it's called Spirituality in Progress.
Okay.
And we started it about like 2 years ago now. We have like 50 plus episodes. It was just supposed to be like fun.
Mm-hmm.
She's like the only other person I've ever met that is on like a weird spiritual path and that like was into like aliens like me. And so we talked about how like
ancient only.
That's super cool.
So we talked about how like we like wished that we had like a community to explore this weird spiritual stuff with. And so we were like, well, let's just like make a podcast.
There's gotta be other people out there who think the exact same way.
Yeah. And her boyfriend had all this like set up, so we were able to record right away at her house. We would just record us having conversations about things, and then it just kind of picked up. And
nice.
Yeah, that's why I have this.
Gotcha.
We have this like
gotcha
later, so that we could record at other places. It was supposed to be like we were gonna go to like different coffee shops and like record our conversations at coffee shops. And but then
that'd
like
kind of cool.
Yeah, right. And you can like hear
the
background
noise. Background
of
yeah.
it and stuff.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah.
But then it was like quickly we realized it wouldn't work because the mics
would pick up. The mics would pick up on
too much background noise.
Yeah, exactly. It would be nice if we could get just the right amount of background noise for that. I'm sure there's a way to do that, but I don't know how.
It's probably like a clip you can just
and then because then we'd be like sip podcast like we're all sipping on coffee, and then we'd be like we can do like plugs for the coffee shops, and then coffee shops will be like come to our coffee shop.
You'd be like, oh,
it was like big dream
thoughts.
Yeah,
I love it.
I was gonna say I think most podcasts I listen to the people are like in their closets like just so there's
no
background noise.
Background.
Like just somewhere super quiet and.
Well, we're like at my apartment. We're like in some.
Yeah.
There's maybe some background noise on this podcast.
Yeah.
Therefore, you put the poison in front of me. But you would know that I am no fool.
I think we have to get a copyright now because you did so good.
Thank you guys again for listening. Be sure to check us out on Instagram at gates_of_love. And our website, soulplacelove.com, where our Conscious Coupling course will be coming out soon, A Conscious Approach to Partnership.